So what is this week famous for, if I had to ask you? All you Indians? So 15th of August, Independence Day. And so this entire week is generally celebrated across India as the Independence Week or the Freedom Week. Okay? And so I thought I'd speak on the topic of freedom. Okay? I'm going to talk on the topic of freedom, though slightly differently. Okay? I'm going to talk about bans. Yeah? So we say we're a free country. We've had 60-odd years of freedom. And then we hear all of a sudden there are a lot of bans happening in India. So let me ask you, okay, how many of you single here? Single? Okay. Even for those who are not single, okay, what's the thing which has affected you most in terms of a ban? For me, it's Maggie. All you hostlers are staying, people staying alone. I mean, I've made Maggie in my cup in the hostel when I was in Karuni and Coimbatore. Okay, so that kind of stuff. So, Maggie ban affected us big time. Yeah? Agree? This wasn't banned. This was. Yeah? Beef ban? I don't know if it's good or if it's bad. My wife thinks it's good for me. I mean, it helps cuts down cholesterol. But then we'll keep it there. What else? Alcohol ban. Which parts of India? Gujarat? Kerala? In progress? Anyone from the northeast here? Nobody? Nagaland? Yeah. And I think even Manipur, if I'm not wrong. Mizoram. Thank you for correcting me there. So we have an alcohol ban in India as well. So we're talking about freedom, but then we have all these bans in place. What next? How many of you know of Greenpeace? Yeah? What do they do? They're an NGO, and they're into stuff which, they do things which help sustain our environment and work for the earth. And that's why their logo as well shows a globe. Okay? And do you know they're banned as well in India right now? Even they're banned. And why are they banned? They're banned for certain regulations which have not been able to comply with in terms of foreign investment coming into India, foreign aid coming into India for their NGO, is what the agencies are saying, what the regulators are saying. I don't know if you've ever seen what they do in India. Have any of you seen what they do in India? Okay. So something that we know of them is they're very unique and very, very creative in the way they do stuff. So for example, if there's an F1 Grand Prix happening and the sponsor for the F1 Grand Prix is somebody who's doing something against the environment, On the screen or in the end when you have the presentation ceremony happening, when you have Michael Schumacher and all these big guys right there and getting the huge trophy, there'll be a small drone with a flag coming up saying, save the environment, Greenpeace, don't support these guys. So like they can total anti-stuff in terms of they'll just go and blow it for you. Okay, one such thing is what happened in India, and in fact in Mumbai recently. How many of you know of the SR house by any chance? Anybody staying along Race Course Mahalakshmi? Have you seen the building on the left side? Never? Okay. This is what they did to that building. We kill forests. So these guys are a set of people who work for big organizations. They're volunteers with Greenpeace. And they said, we've got to go do something different because they were against the power plant which SR is building in Mahan. That's a place in Madhya Pradesh. So they said, we've got to protest. And we've got to protest very differently. So they, for about a month or so, acted like building cleaners. They got the permissions in place. I worked in this building, and I know what this building is like. It's a beautiful office, very strict in terms of their security permissions. But then these guys worked for a month saying, we are building cleaners, we'll clean the exterior of your building. And every month, I mean, every day they kept going up and down. All of a sudden, one day they just rolled this whole banner down. And they hung from the building. They said, we will not get off. Let the police come, let the fire guys come, whatever, but we will not get off. And this is the way they protest. So the entire city... If you drove around Haji Ali or any of the areas from everywhere, you could see that. SR tried to do a cover-up. They said they covered kill with a heart shape, a love, and said, we love forests. And they tried to make it as if it's some branding for themselves. But then this is what they do. This is what Greenpeace does. And therefore, they got into certain wrong books, and then they kind of shunted away right now, or banned right now. And their people are working for free. They don't have funds to even pay salaries, but then they're working for free for the environment. What else? Books are banned in India. Yeah, so books of various kinds, especially as a country where we're a little sensitive in terms of religion and morality, and therefore books of various religious inclinations are sometimes banned in India. What else are banned in India? What else do you think are banned in India? Commercials are banned in India. Have you ever seen a commercial on YouTube which says banned in India? They're fun commercials, but I can't show them here. They're banned in India. Yeah, There are some movies which are banned in India, like this one which says Unfreedom. Okay, they ban maybe for good reasons or bad reasons, but then yes, we ban them. I'm not getting into whether it's good or bad, but then as a country, we are getting into the mode of banning stuff. What else are we banning? The most recent one, yeah. So pornographic sites were banned. Okay. Recently, there was a change in the decision, and they said only child pornographic sites will be banned in India, and the other sites will be let off. But then this ban happened recently. And for me, this kind of shook me up. It shook me up for different reasons. When the pornographic ban happened in India, it happened all of a sudden. I mean, if you read about it in the papers, the next morning somebody tried to log into a website, it was a white screen. There was no announcement in place. There was no decision given saying, we will from tomorrow, from tonight at 1200 hours, we're going to ban pornographic websites. They just banned it all of a sudden, saying, okay, white screens, and we ban. And that's when I keep pointing on this, saying, where is India heading? Okay. We say we're a democratic country, but then we can see all this stuff happening about bans just happening all of a sudden. And therefore, I said, okay, I felt the Lord lead me to speak to all of us and say, okay, what are we going to do about it? We've seen bans of various kinds happen. Can the Bible be banned? Can our Holy Scriptures be banned? What do you think? I mean, if overnight they could just pull off websites and put a blank screen there and not have to justify it or justify it post the action, can't they just put a ban? They may not be able to come home and pull your Bibles out of your home, but they can do it slowly. They could first stop publishing of Bibles. They could shut all the printing presses down in India. They could stop the import of Bibles. And you wouldn't know it. You would have all the custom warehouses sitting with Bibles inside. You wouldn't know it. So can this happen? Can a Bible ban happen? Do you know of any countries which have a Bible ban? China? Right? I'm not sure about how much China has banned the Bible of late, but there are 51 countries across the world which ban the Bible. Can't they be a 52nd? Can't India be the 52nd country to ban the Bible? I'll leave the thought with you. What about churches? Can churches be banned? Think about it. Is it possible? Well, some people might say, no, we're a country which is secular. We can practice and profess our faith. Well, all that is true, but then law could change anytime. The constitution could change anytime. Is it possible? Maybe now, not so much. But think about technically, any of you lawyers here? Yeah. Okay, if I'm going wrong, you'll have to help me out. Is it okay? But civics classes, okay, 11th and 12th civics classes in school. If any bill had to come into place and become an act, okay, or if the law had to change, or if they had to make any amendments to the constitution as well, you could do it by including a bill in the lower house, which is the Lok Sabha, and then the highest house, which is the Rajya Sabha. Okay? Today, they're trying to introduce a change in the land bill or the GST bill, and there's a kind of a rebuttal from the UPA parties saying, no, we won't allow it. Can they stop it? At the Lok Sabha, not so much. Because the NDA government, which wants to bring the land bill or the GST bill, can push it through because they have a clear majority. There are 545 seats in the Lok Sabha, out of which I think 330 are with the NDA, 280 with the BJP themselves. So if they had to make up their mind and say, no, we're going to bring some good changes and good laws, they could do it. But then they'll hit a roadblock at the Rajya Sabha. Because at the Rajya Sabha, you still have our MPs at the Rajya Sabha who still, people who are nominated by the MPs or the MLAs or the legislative party of government rule states. But over time, over the next year, you're going to have a change in that. And then you're going to have states again nominate for MPs in the Rajya Sabha. And you could have the Rajya Sabha looking more like what the Lok Sabha looks like today. So if you had to pass a law, if you had to pass a change in the constitution or an act, it is quite possible because the Lok Sabha has resistance. You only have, what, 48 odd Congress MPs or other parties. And at the Rajya Sabha as well, going forward, maybe after a year or so, it could change and there could be changes in the law. One such law, I mean, that's how in Maharashtra you had the beef ban. They passed it as in a regulation here in Maharashtra that you can't do it. And they want to do that across the country. That's what the manifesto says for the NDA government, that we want to have a ban on cow slaughter across the country, which is fine, which is good for certain reasons, not so good for certain people who think it's good. But then there are also certain things like the uniform or the civil code, the uniform civil code, which says we don't want to have laws which are dependent on individual religions. Because when the British left India and we had the constitution from them, we had the acts from them, certain acts were influenced by religions. And that's why, for example, say marriages. You have the Hindu Marriage Act, you got the Muslim Marriage Act, and you got the Christian Marriage Act. Correct, guys, lawyers? Okay. Why do you have that? Why don't you have one plain vanilla law? Because they say, okay, at that point in time, they felt, no, we don't want to do that. We are a country which wants to respect different religions, and therefore we will abide by these individual laws. But then they felt that was not sufficient. For example, if a Muslim had to marry a Hindu, or if a Hindu had to marry a Christian, or if somebody didn't believe in any religion, they were atheists and they said, we don't want to believe in any religion, therefore don't want to get married as per any religious practice, what do we do? That's when the Special Marriage Act came into being, which said, okay, we're not going to depend on each religion's guidelines, we're going to keep it vanilla, we're going to keep it okay pure for the entire country and say, okay, this is the way we will do special marriages in India. And that's where the Special Marriage Act came into being. So if that had to come into being, there could always be a law which says, this country is getting dominated by a particular religion, or we're getting influenced by different morals. We need to have one moral, we need to have one standard, and therefore a uniform civil code. And if the government wants to pass it right now, they well could. Right? And from that point of view, yes, a church ban today may not be a possibility. We don't see that happening. And that's why we're all here, being able to worship here. But then, who knows, it could maybe just happen. Let's think of it this way. What if this building had to put a rule saying we don't want to have any religious activities in this room, in this building, or we don't want to have anybody come and pray in this building? What would you do? Would you be able to come here and worship? May not be. Think about it. What about gap group bans? Sorry for that picture. Okay. By the way, I got that off Google. You guys are famous. So the gap group ban, would that be a possibility? Maybe. Okay. Where do you guys meet? You generally meet at somebody's home. What if the society of the building says, we're not going to allow anybody to have any religious activity? No puja, no church, no Christian activity, nothing at all. Would you be able to meet in somebody's place? May not be. So I just wanted to think about this. What if the Bible is banned? What if churches are banned? What if your gap groups or cell groups or life groups are banned? What would we do? My next question is, what if you're banned? Could that happen? Can I be banned? Is that even a question? What do you think? Well, I don't know if we can be banned or not as individuals. We're all citizens of this country. We have our passport. The government says, I'll protect you wherever you go, even if you're outside this country. So I don't know if we'll be banned or not. But then, for a fact, we were banned once. Each of us was banned. When God made this world, He made this world perfect. He made it brilliant. He made it beautiful. And in that perfect world, He made a perfect human being, and He called him Adam. But then Adam and his wife Eve messed up, and they didn't obey what God had placed as one rule for them. And because of that one act of disobedience, one mess up that they had in that time, they were banished. They were banned from His presence, from the Garden of Eden, from that life of purity. So yes, all of us, irrespective of who we are, what our education is, what job we hold, which part of India we come from, or which part of the world we come from, for that matter, we were all banned. Let me read to you from the Bible on that. Genesis chapter 3. Verses 23 to 24, that's the first book of the Bible. And the third chapter of the first book of the Bible talks about how we were banned. The first two chapters talk about the perfect world which God made and where He put mankind. From chapter 3 onwards is where the story unfolds. So the Lord God banished him forever from the Garden of Eden and sent him out to farm the ground from which he had been taken. Thus God expelled him and placed mighty angels at the east of the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword to guard the entrance to the tree of life. Therefore, all of us were banned. But then the ban was not permanent. Thankfully, that ban was not forever and ever. And that ban was taken away when Jesus came into this world. And he said, I know you guys were banned and I know you guys messed up. But then I can't see this separation away because I love you guys so much. I can't see you being away from me. I want to be with you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be friends with you again. And so he said, I'm going to take all that ban onto me. I'm going to take all that punishment. I'm going to take all that hate onto me. So that you will never more be banned from my presence, from our relationship, from access to heaven, eternity, life with me forever. The joy of the world forever. Isn't that super? To know that we were banned, but then we didn't do anything to come away from the ban. We just didn't do anything to come away from the ban. Just the fact that Jesus came down to this earth, died for us, took all that hate onto him, was enough to take the ban away from us. Romans 5:15-19 says this. And what a difference between man's sin and God's forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through sin. But this one man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's mercy. Adam's one sin brought the penalty of death to many, while Christ freely takes away many sins and gives glorious life instead. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to be king over all. But all who will take God's gift of forgiveness and acquittal are kings of life because of this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's sin brought punishment to all, but Christ's righteousness makes men right with God so that they can live. Adam caused many to be sinners because he disobeyed God, and Christ caused many to be made acceptable to God because he obeyed. And isn't that beautiful to know? That no more are we banned, but we have forgiveness, we have life, and we have it forever. This life on this earth is just like a micro millimeter of kilometers that are going to come. We don't even know where that's going to end. Just a micro millimeter. And this is just a sample life, if I had to say in a sense. And in this sample life, we may mess up, we may do stuff which we may really feel stupid of ourselves about. But then when we say, Lord, I believe in you and I know that you died for me and therefore you're banned from me. But then you didn't just die. You lived again. 3 days later, sin couldn't contain you. Death couldn't contain you. The ban couldn't contain you. You lived again, and therefore, I can live in and through you forever. If you say, thank you, Lord, for doing that for me, that's enough. Those kilometers you need to live forever are going to be super with Christ himself in heaven. Thank God for this. But then, again, we have freedom. In Christ, we have life eternal. But then again, that brings something again back to us. 2 Timothy, a book again in the Bible, in chapter 3, verse 12, the author Timothy says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, will be banned again. I mean, we just came out of that ban. We're saying, Lord, I mean, God, we want to live like you did, and we want to be perfect like you. We want to be super cool like you. And you said you're giving us freedom. But you're saying, you give me freedom and I'm going to again put you back to the ban. What's all this about? I mean, Jesus himself said in John 15:18-20, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I choose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. It doesn't say they may, could be. It just says they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. Same thing with the previous one. It says all who desire to live, doesn't say maybe. It says will be. Okay, so therefore, yes, we have freedom. But then here, in that freedom, we are again going to have a ban. But the ban this time is not permanent. This ban is in that micromillimeter stage of life in this earth. From people who don't so know the freedom of God. So what about that freedom, the ban? Is it bad? Is this ban kind of the bans which we sulk about, crib about, cry about? Well, this one man called Paul in the Bible, who used to ban Christians, who used to persecute Christians, hate Christians, and beat them up, one day he changed when he got to know about this great, amazing love of Jesus Christ. And so when he changed from his old ban group and came into this group of life eternal, he was banned as well by the people around him. The same man who banned people got banned later. And this is what he writes about his ban. He says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." But this is crazy. The world doesn't understand this. What do you mean? Perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned. It doesn't even make sense to people around us. But that makes sense when we understand what Christ did for us. And so a ban may seem like something bad. People may go fight about it. People may go make a noise about it. I remember when the Da Vinci Code movie came into India. I'm from Hyderabad, and then in Hyderabad, we were a pretty cool place, a very hospitable place, if I had to say. But then all of a sudden, I'm seeing on the news channels that there's this one group of Christians who's formed an organization, and they're going and fighting. And they threw stones on the theater. They had black flags saying, "Ban Da Vinci Code. How can Da Vinci Code be shown in India? It's a wrong movie," and stuff like that. I'm like, guys, what are you even doing? It's just a movie. It's fiction. Why are you making such a big deal about it? You're making it famous by doing that. That doesn't affect the truth. The truth is crystal clear. If people had to know and hear the truth, you wouldn't have to worry about what's being shown on the movie. How many movies will you stop? So when we respond that way, saying, "No, we're going to cry and we're going to protest, we're going to sit in front of the Rajya Sabha, wherever it is," come on guys, chill it. God said it's going to happen to you. Why are we pushing that away? He said, let's see what he says next. Jesus said this, what happiness it is when others hate you. What happiness when others hate you and exclude you and insult you and smear your name because you're mine. When that happens, rejoice. Yes, leap for joy, for you will have a great reward awaiting you in heaven, and you will be in good company. The ancient prophets were treated that way too. Is that amazing to know? That you'll be in the league of people like Paul if you're persecuted, if you're banned. And that's something super. It just boggles your mind to know that if somebody is pushing you to the wall because of what you believe in and what you believe is the truth, guys, you have to rejoice and say, "Wow, thank you so much, God. I've made it in life. Right? I'm going to be with those people, the ancient prophets who were treated the same way. I'm going to be with you who was treated the same way." So a ban for us is a reward, isn't a pain point for us. And that's how we're called to look at bans. Boggles us, right, to think about how the Bible talks about bans, whereas the world today sees bans. Christians today see bans. There are organizations formed in Delhi, and then they go meet people, they meet representatives of parliament and say, "How can you do this?" and all that. You're postponing what God wants to do. God is saying, that's going to happen before you can come to be with me forever and ever. And we're saying, "No, we don't want to be with you, God, forever. We want to be in this world because this world is cool. We don't want it to be stopped. We don't want it to stop being cool. And therefore, we don't want persecution." That's what we're saying. But then, my question is, if we're going to have a ban soon, if you're going to be persecuted soon, how ready are we? How ready are we? If we had no Bible, if we had no church, if we had no gap groups, cell groups or whatever, then how are we getting ready for that time of life? How many of you could say today, "I'm ready"? I'm not ready. I don't know how many of you could say, "I'm ready." So I'm looking at certain things next in terms of what can't be banned. The gospel, for example, one, can it be banned? How would you bind it? I can't ban it. The gospel is something which is in my heart now. But then, if I have to share that gospel with somebody, do I know the gospel well enough? Can I go talk about the gospel to somebody? If I had just 2 minutes with somebody, what would I say? I would be all over the place. Just to even get to the point of saying what the gospel is. And that struck me saying, I mean, how ready am I? How ready are we? If we had just 20 minutes on a train ride with somebody, and that was your only chance to tell them the gospel, your chance, not his chance, to hear the gospel, your chance to tell the gospel, would you be able to share the gospel with them? Do we have ready on a flight with somebody next to you? How ready are we with the gospel? Because persecution or banning is meant for the growth of the gospel. That's what the Bible is saying. It says in Philippians 1, 12 to 14, and I want you to know this, dear brothers, everything that has happened to me here has been a great boost in getting out the good news concerning Christ. This is again the same man, Paul, writing to the church in Philippi. And he's saying, in a different version it says, whatever I've gone through and all the difficulties I'm going through is to advance the gospel. So if persecution is meant to advance the gospel, how would we advance it if we don't even know have a pitch ready with somebody to go and tell them what the gospel is? For everyone around here, including all the soldiers over at the barracks, know that I'm in chains simply because I'm a Christian. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here seem to have lost their fear of chains. Somehow my patience has encouraged them and they have become more and more bold in telling others about Christ. Isn't that brilliant? Somebody who's going to ban you will change because of the fact that you told them the gospel in a situation of that kind. So unless you have your gospel ready, like a 2-minute pitch to somebody saying, guys, I know of this great God. I know I'm going to live forever. Would you want to join me in heaven together? And if you need to join me in heaven, I mean, this is what you need to know right now. If not, you wouldn't be able to be with us. So do you have the gospel message ready with you to share with anybody? Your personal story. Personal stories tick. I mean, they stick with people and they tick. Because it tells you, it shows people about the change in your life. I mean, if somebody like Joel had to see me today, he'll say, I'm a changed man. I mean, he's seen me in college, he's my batchmate. We were very different then. But what has changed us? The change in us, yeah, I put on a lot of weight, but then I think it's internal. The change is because we know what Jesus means to us today. And that's what people believe in. So do you have a personal story to share with somebody? Saying, guys, I was messed up. But the way I am today and I'm so joyful, I'm rejoicing, is because of who I know today and who I love today. So do you have a personal story ready with you? Yeah. The Word of God. If there was no Bible, if there was no physical tool, if your phones couldn't download the Bible on your phone, how would you be able to share the Word of God to people? How would you be able to share the Word of God to people? Well, unless you know the Word well enough, how will you be able to share the Word with somebody? Unless you have a few words kept in your mind, memorized maybe, or in your heart, how would you share that with somebody else? So today when we have the Word of God, what are we doing with it? Are we investing for that time when we have to use all this? Or are we just taking it for granted? 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 9-10 says, it is because I have preached these great truths that I'm in trouble here and I've been put in jail like a criminal. This is somebody who's a good friend of the previous man. That's Paul and this is Timothy. But the Word of God is not changed, even though I am. I am more than willing to suffer if that will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to those God has chosen. What's the gospel? The gospel is the good news. What's salvation? That's what the good news brings for you. It saves you. It keeps you away from eternal death. That's what salvation is. This is saying the Word of God cannot be changed because it's in me. I mean, they didn't have scrolls with them when they went to jail. They had it in their heart. So if the Bible was not available to us, say 5 years, 10 years from now, how much of it do you have in your heart and in your mind to be able to share it with somebody? Some of us may maximum know Psalm 23. Right? Or maybe a Psalm 121. But is that enough? That's a question for you. Prayer. Can prayer be banned? Can prayer be banned? No, right? Because we don't have to go to a particular place to pray. Our prayer is not physically defined. We can pray from wherever we are. I could pray on the toilet seat. I could pray in a bus. I could pray on the road. I could open my eyes and pray, because prayer is my dialogue with my God, my friend. I don't have to do any physical act of bowing down or on my knees or on my back or whatever it is. I can just walk coolly into a mall and pray for people in the mall. I can just walk coolly into a campus like the IIT and just pray. If people there had to see me, if the people there in IIT had to know that we went on a prayer walk or praying inside, we would be kicked out. How would they know? We're just going for a cool, lazy walk on the campus. But then we're specifically praying for various needs. So prayer can be done without being banned. Right? What does the Word of God say about that? Matthew 5, 43 to 48. There's a saying, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, that's Jesus, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who ban you. In that way, you will be acting as true sons of your Father in heaven, for He gives His sunlight to both the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even scoundrels do that much. If you are friendly only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the heathen do that, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we call to pray for the people who ban you. And unless I'm praying today, unless I have I know how to do it quite well, and I pray, and I'm doing that today, how would I be able to do that all of a sudden after 10 years when it's banned? So are we living a life of prayer? Are we praying, and are we in communion? Are we talking to our God who's so willing to hear us and so waiting to hear us? Things like discipleship. Yeah, this is a heavy word, but then it's basically saying, I'm going to rub myself onto you, because Jesus rubbed Himself onto me. He's my mentor. I'm learning from Him. I'm modeling my life after Him. I'm reflecting Him in this earth. And I'm going to help you reflect the same. I'm going to help you through the journey. I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to mentor you. I'm going to coach you. I'm going to help you be more like Jesus. And that is one-to-one. I don't have to meet in a church building. I don't have to meet in a formal setup. I could just meet somebody in a train and disciple them over the journey. Or at home, one-to-one. That can't be banned. Because we have laws which keep our privacy, and therefore I can do it one-to-one. But if you're not doing it one-to-one today, how much would you do it later? So the question is, do you know how to disciple somebody? Do you know how to talk to somebody and mentor them and grow them? You wouldn't be able to know it and do it unless you do it with somebody else. Unless there's somebody more senior than you, somebody who's ahead of you in the journey, ahead of you in the learning curve, who's doing that with you, you may not be able to do that with somebody else. So now is a good time to find yourself somebody you think is ahead of you in the journey and knows Christ better than you know, and work with Him to better your life so that you learn how to disciple somebody. And then tomorrow, when you don't have an opportunity of a church, you could do that one-to-one. The Spirit in you can't be banned. In fact, when you are banned, more of God's Spirit is put on you. That's what the Word of God says. 1 Peter 4, 14 to 16. Be happy if you're cursed and insulted for being a Christian. But when that happens, the Spirit of God will come upon you with great glory. Don't let me hear of your suffering for murdering or stealing or making trouble or being a busybody and prying into other people's affairs. But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being in Christ's family and being called by His wonderful name. Crazy people, right? Radical people. When look at the words they use. Amazing. So the Spirit of God will be upon you. Okay? And when you have the Spirit of God upon you, you've got to have something called as the fruit of the Spirit, which again can't be banned. The interesting thing is, when I had to show you about the bans which are happening in India today, I used a picture because I could physically contain it. But for these bans, I don't have a picture. How would I show Spirit? How would I show prayer? How would I show the gospel? I don't have a picture to show you because it can't be tangibly bound. That's the brilliance about it. The fruit of the Spirit, Bible says, are 9. Love, peace, joy, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, and things of the kind. All those cannot be bound because those are what you show to people around you. So then a good check for you is, how many of those 9 are you showing? How many of those behaviors are you showing to people around you? How loving are you? How gentle are you? How peaceful are you? How patient and long-suffering are you in your way? Because through that, people are going to come and ask you, saying, what's the difference with you, man? Why do you put up with your boss even when he's doing such crappy stuff to you? Why do you put up with your office if they don't have no increment for you? And that's exactly what's happening to me. The oil industry is bad. So we're the only industry when the entire country is happy today because petrol prices are down. We're the only industry which has no increments. I'm having a tough time at the office. But then I went to him and said, I know you messed up. I know you did something bad to me, but I'm forgiving you. And he's like, what's wrong with you? Who are you to forgive me? I'm like, no, I'm forgiving you because I don't want to be bitter against you. And those things, then they come and ask you saying, why did you say that to me? Why did you say that to me? What do you mean by forgiveness? That's when you can tell them about how you have the forgiveness in spite of what happens to you around you in this world. Because you have the Spirit of God in you, which in spite of any situation, circumstance, can help you get past people, irritants, irritating circumstances that the world brings to you. So fruit of the Spirit cannot be banned. And so these are the things, the gospel, the word of God, prayer, the Spirit in you to be built up, the fruit of the Spirit to show out of you is what we need to focus on today. Because if we don't do it now, there's no point in us crying about it later when we don't have access to what God has given us so freely today. Freedom, He gave us. He can take it away. You give and take away. But my heart will surely say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Makes more sense, that song right now? This freedom we have, He's given us. The Bible we have, He's given us. The church we have, He's given us. But if He had to take this away from us, would we still say, blessed be your name, Lord? Super stuff, let's go, God. Now is the time to show who you are. Would we say that? So we said bans, say for example, a petrol ban. Kal petrol band hai. What would happen? What would you do? What would you do? Something like this? Go to a petrol station and try to fill up your tank? If somebody says there's going to be an onion shortage, what would you do? You'd go and hoard onion into your house, right? Onions into your house. Or rice, or any material of that kind. If somebody tells you, this is going to happen, go stock up, you'll go stock up. When the Bible is telling you this is going to happen to you, what are you stocking yourself up with? Bible is clear. If you love God, if you want to live a godly life, you will have people who are going to ban you. People are going to ban the stuff you have. So when that ban's going to happen, don't then say, "Arey, I should have done something about it." We know it. And this has been told to us thousands of years ago. Reminder call for us. If bans could happen overnight and white pages show up on your Internet Explorer or Google Chrome, you never know where we're heading. And wherever we're heading for a purpose. When we feel there's a bad government coming into place, what will we all Christians do? We'll desperately pray about it. We'll cry out to God for it. Otherwise, if we have a pleasant, happy, lucky government in place, nothing, we don't care. Whatever scam happens, whatever crap happens, we're okay with it. But then somebody says that these people can do this to you, start praying. So this is a reminder for us saying, what are we going to do? So I'm going to ask you just three questions, even as I end. And the three questions, what three things will you change starting today? What three things will you change starting today? Be it about your church, be it about the Word of God, be it about a gap group, be it about discipleship, or about how much you know the gospel, how much you know the Word of God, how much you're praying. In all this, what are three things that you will change? I think let's do that right now. All of us have a phone. If you can just pull out your phone and say, okay, whatever, OneNote or any way you want to just save it for your own use, pick out your phone and just say, what are the three things I'm going to do to myself? Keep it with you and mull over it when you get back home. What three things am I going to change? It could be, I may not have access to this community tomorrow. I may not have access to these people who are so loving to me. So I will come to church every Sunday and spend more time here to know about what this great God of love teaches us. That could be one thing. Or it could just be, I will attend a gap group. Or I will read the Word of God. I'll do my CBR, which you do every day. Those are simple things we can do today. The love discipline, as what Anand says, is for that, so that tomorrow when we don't have it, at least this is there in our mind, in our we can meditate over it. Right? What if I memorize one verse a week? By the end of the year, I'll have 52 verses. Just imagine, 52 verses is more than a couple of chapters in some, could be even more than a book sometimes in the Bible. And if you had to do that over 5 years or 10 years, imagine in 10 years you know 520 verses. That's more than some of the books. Just one small change in your lifetime. So think about it. I'm going to give you 2 minutes with your permission. If you can take 2 minutes to think about what 3 things will you change starting today about these aspects of life? What 3 things will you change starting today?